Welcome to Season 6, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Doubting Thomas. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic, so I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Thomas, who was one of Jesus' chosen disciples, is often referred to by the name of Doubting Thomas. And this is because of his reaction to the news that he received from the other disciples that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Thomas was not quick to believe them, hence the name Doubting Thomas. In this episode, I want us to consider three points about Thomas and his skepticism or his doubt about the news of Jesus' resurrection. The first point I want us to notice is that Thomas was absent from the other disciples. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, it says, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So Thomas, when on this occasion, when the other disciples were meeting together and Jesus appeared to them, Thomas was absent. Why was he not there? Now, we're not told in the Scriptures, and we could speculate about why he wasn't there, but really it's immaterial to our point here and to the discussion. It doesn't matter why he wasn't there. The point simply was that he was absent. He was not there. His absence caused him to miss this opportunity to see Jesus. His absence also caused him to miss an opportunity to be strengthened by his fellow disciples. Here, after Jesus was crucified, the other disciples were gathered together. It says there they were in fear of the Jews. The reason why they would have been gathered together rather than separated from one another was because they were trying to encourage and strengthen one another. The Scriptures teach that it is important for Jesus' disciples to gather together. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It is important for us to be together to encourage and to strengthen one another. We should not casually throw away opportunities to be with our brethren, particularly in our assemblies when we come together to remember and honor the Lord. As Jesus' disciples were there in John chapter 20, after his death and his resurrection, they were gathered together. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. But we need to remember that we should not throw away opportunities to be with our brethren when we have the chance to be with them. Number two, Thomas was skeptical. In John 20, verse 24, as we already read, he was not with them when Jesus came. So verse 25, the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." So Thomas was absent from the meeting when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. So naturally, the other disciples would have told him about this event afterward. But Thomas, as we read here, he was skeptical. He says, "Unless I can for myself, examined Jesus' wounds, put my hands in the imprint of the nails, my finger in the place of the nails, my hand in his side, I will not believe. And it's easy for us to read this verse and be critical of doubting Thomas. But his skepticism is that the news about skepticism of the news about Jesus is understandable. While he should have believed the eyewitness testimony of the other disciples, as Jesus would make the point here a little bit further on in this chapter, he also heard Jesus' warning about false Christ who would mislead even the elect in Matthew 24 and verse 24. Now, of course, in that passage, Jesus was not discussing the time immediately following his death. But Thomas's skepticism was understandable. He may have misunderstood what Jesus meant in the time of when Jesus was talking about there, but it was understandable for him to be skeptical or to at least question whether they had actually seen Jesus or if they had been fooled. Now, John says after 8 days from that initial meeting of Jesus with his disciples, minus Thomas, after 8 days, which according to the Jewish expression of time would be the following first day of the week, Jesus returned to the disciples and Thomas was now present with them. Now, Jesus knew of Thomas's question about the reality of his resurrection. Even though Jesus wasn't there, the disciples told Thomas and Thomas expressed his skepticism, but Jesus knew that he doubted. He knew that he was skeptical. And so he said to him, in verse 27, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus did not want him to doubt. He did not want him to be skeptical about this. Now, we're not told if Thomas actually did touch Jesus and examine his wounds. It's entirely possible that simply seeing Jesus was enough to convince him. But in either case, his response was in verse 28, my Lord and my God. And so we see that Thomas was skeptical, and it is understandable on one hand why he would be, but he should have believed what the other disciples said, and Jesus appeared to him again and wanted to be sure that he did believe that he had been raised from the dead. The third point is that in the end, Thomas believed. John 20, 27, again, Jesus says to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. In response to Thomas's statement of faith, Jesus explained the importance of believing the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses of him. He says there, as we read in verse 29, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Meaning they did not see Jesus in person, but they believed the testimony of those who did see Jesus. Those who would live in other places and other times than the apostles would not see Jesus in the flesh as they did. And this includes us today. We have not seen Jesus in the flesh. We have not seen him. We have not been able to do as Thomas said he wanted to do, put our hands into the nail prints and the wound in his side and examine them. We have not been able to do that. We have not seen Jesus. But we, just as others throughout history, are able to believe through the testimony of Jesus' apostles, who were his eyewitnesses. And they have written these things down for us. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, or by the words of God. And so, Thomas believed. And Jesus says here that blessed are those who did not see and yet believe, who recognized the testimony, heard the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses, and believed based upon that testimony, which is how we establish facts in history and in courts of law. We establish facts by eyewitnesses and eyewitness testimony. And so we can believe what was done and what occurred based upon those eyewitnesses. Jesus says we have to believe those eyewitnesses. So Thomas, he stated his belief, but then it's also important that we note that Thomas referred to Jesus not only as my Lord, but also as my God, there in verse 28. And when he said this, when he called Jesus my Lord and my God, Jesus did not rebuke him or correct him. The reason why he didn't have to correct him was because Jesus was God in the flesh. Paul talked about in Colossians 2 and verse 9 that the fullness of deity dwelled in him in bodily form. And so this passage in John 20 and verse 28, where Thomas says, my Lord and my God, and Jesus does not correct him, this is another passage in the Gospel of John that affirms Jesus's deity. And we need to believe this, that he is not only Lord, but also God, if we want to be saved. As Jesus said in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Meaning, unless you believe that I am the Son of God, that I am God in the flesh, unless you believe that, you will die in your sins. So in summary, we need to learn from the example of Thomas that, number one, it is important for us to be with other disciples. Number two, while we should be skeptical of what man says, we need to believe the eyewitnesses of the Lord and his inspired writers. And number three, we need to believe in Jesus for who he is, not just a good man, not just a prophet, not just a great teacher, but believe in him as our Lord and our God. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. This episode concludes Season 6 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, in which we've been discussing lessons from the Gospel of John. We'll be taking a four-week break, and then Season 7 will begin on July 25th, and in that season, we'll be focusing on the topic of salvation. During the break over the next 4 weeks, we'll have sermons being posted each week instead of the regular episodes, so stay tuned for those. So until then, I hope you have a great week.